listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki
Hunter. Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 5th. If you can believe it already, my name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm glad to be here, and we have a special guest tonight. It's exciting.
We do, but we're going to save it for a surprise. But I am excited for this conversation, and so excited to see everybody in our live chat. Always love to catch up with you guys. Love your input, love your ideas, and I look forward to it every week. We do also appreciate those that take the time to catch up with us in the archives, and we appreciate the feedback you send in. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, on to tonight's topic. It is my big pleasure to welcome Dr. Doug Kelly. Welcome.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back with you again after a month or so. Thanks, son.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Dr. Vicki.
Nice to see you, Doug.
Thanks, you too.
I enjoyed your newsletter yesterday.
Oh. Thank you.
Awesome. I've read it as well, and I've been looking forward to this discussion and this talk about it. So, by all means.
All right. So, I'm sure most everybody's read, it was a brief newsletter. I mean, the main article was brief, but I intentionally kept it that way because I wanted to expand on it on this radio program. But I call it the humanity, and it's kind of patterned after that comment from Herb Morrison back in 1937, during the Hindenburg crash, where he cried out, "Oh, the humanity!" And that phrase just always stuck with me. It just—I don't know—it was meaningful. It was—it captured compassion, and I mean, you could hear it in his voice. He was genuinely concerned about the people that were on that dirigible, that Hindenburg. And so, at any rate, that's what I've been thinking about a lot lately too, is the humanity and sometimes the lack of humanity as we see different things in the world currently, you know, and I just want to do a bit of a preface to some of my following comments here. I've mentioned this in the past, but I've tried very hard to keep politics out of the radio program, out of the newsletter, out of anything I'm talking about, you know, and that's because I want to focus on positive things. And there's not a lot of positive in politics these days, or maybe ever, but especially these days. I see a lot of Christian churches, a lot of them over the decades, have always been, you know, neck deep into politics, you know, inviting politicians to speak to their congregations and making a stand and telling their adherents, who to vote for, and different things like that, you know, and I think that's just inappropriate. I don't agree with that. And so I'm not here to tell anybody anything. And that's why, folks, I make a really bad cult leader. I could be very rich if I was a cult leader, but I'm not going to do that. I don't do cults. I already did that, been there, done that, not going to do it anymore. And so I try to keep those comments to a very minimum. And that being said, I'm not going to turn a blind eye to different things that are going on and to try to steer or remind people who listen to me of the proper ways to view things and the healthy and positive ways to view things. So, you know, all this said, it doesn't take a rocket surgeon to see what's going on in the United States and in the world. People are afraid. You know, the current U.S. political climate has made hatred of certain ethnicities and groups like LGBTQ and acceptable and even promoted. They promote hatred. And that's not right. It seems these political ideologies have seemed to bring out all the worst in some people. Not all people. It's brought out good in some people, too, because people are protesting it. They're not giving in to hatred and things about different peoples and groups. Many are beginning to realize that these political campaign promises that all these politicians make are nothing but smoke. They're nothing. It's always been that way. You know, they promise, you know, all kinds of things. Back in, what was the 90s, you know, George Bush Sr., you know, read my lips, no new taxes, or something like that. It's just very similar. And yet, of course, that never happened. I mean, it was broken. But that's just one. There's many. And we're seeing broken promises even today. But that's just par for the course for politics. And if you've been around a while, you know that. And campaign promises, they don't really amount to much. Many countries have some serious social issues. Many have civil wars. Other countries are trying to invade them, such as Ukraine, which is unfortunate and not very good, you know. But all these points notwithstanding, and I quote, today, a far greater percentage of the world's population lives in peace than at any time before in history, unquote. And that's according to the History News Network. You can look it up online. So, you know, yeah, times may seem tough in different ways, but we're almost looking at it, we're almost too close to the forest, if you will. Violent crimes are also significantly down around the world. Warfare is at historical record lows. You know, so what we're living at right now in history is perhaps the best time ever in terms of war, violent crimes, and things like that. That doesn't mean that stuff's not going on. I know that. But as a whole, you know, what is it? One of the articles I looked up said 70% of the world's population on average feels safe. You know, that's 70%. And that's significantly higher than it was just two decades ago. So things are improving, although it may not seem like that, but things as a whole are improving. And sometimes it goes slower than we want it to. You know, and we don't see this kind of positive news from the mainstream news outlets. You know, we got to remember they're in the business of emotional hype. They, you know, was it the song, forget by the Eagles, I think it was, you know, the blonde news lady talks about a plane crash with a gleam in her eye, that kind of a thing. I remember that song, just don't remember the name of it. You guys probably do. But that's what they look for. Anything to get that emotional hype going on. And that's why I don't watch the news. It's discouraging, and I'm not in a position to do anything about it. So why absorb all that stupidity and all that negativity? It just gets you down, you know. And so you might want to consider that. But with the world events in mind, current world events, the concept of humanity needs to be revisited and restored. And we need to remind everyone that there are good people out here, many, and I believe there are more good people in the world than there are bad. I just believe that. I know that's true because there are so many examples of people helping other people. It just, they go on and on and on. And so it's good to keep that in mind. So let's talk about things that make us human and that are part of our humanness, that are part of our humanity. Our heartfelt compassion makes us human. Not everybody has that. Narcissists, psychopaths, sociopaths, they don't have any compassion. But people with compassion for others, for animals, that makes us human. You know, if we are devoid of human compassion, then by definition, we're not part of humanity. We're not humane. We must not be so wrapped up in ourselves and our own interests or troubles that we fail to feel for others. Remember, sociopaths don't feel for others. Narcissists don't feel for others. Those are psychological illnesses. They don't feel for people. But if we're human, we have compassion. We're not so wrapped up in our own troubles that we can't help others as we see the opportunity and the need. And that's pretty much the next one. Don't be so self-absorbed that we fail to help others when an opportunity arises. And we need to look for those opportunities. You know, that's part of paying it forward. Paying it forward is a mark of humanness and humanity. Kindness to animals is a mark of humanness and humanity. Offering kind words to others is a mark of humanity. And when I say that again, I include that compassion for others. One of the best things we can do, I've said this for years, one of the best things we can do for others is to give them a good word, an encouraging word, an uplifting word. And it's so easy to do. Good morning, Jim. How are you? Good morning. Wow, you're looking sharp today. Or something like that. You did an excellent job on that project. None better. Something like that, a good word, just to encourage and uplift people. You know, when we feel compassion, there's a couple of aspects to it. There's sympathy and empathy, right? Sympathy is basically the act or state of feeling sorrow or compassion for another. Empathy is the ability to understand emotionally and share the feelings of another person. And simply put, if I have never lost somebody, if I've never lost a loved one to death, then I can sympathize with somebody. Well, I can't. I've never been in that situation. I don't know what that feels like, but you know what? I know it's a huge loss, and you have my sympathies. You have my condolences. That's sympathy. If I have lost somebody in death, then I can empathize with them because I know what that feels like. And so it's almost like a deeper sense of compassion for somebody because you know what they're going through. You've felt it. You've experienced it. And so if we just think, so we may not have gone through what somebody else is going through, but we might have gone through something somewhat similar, so we can dig deep and draw up that empathy, knowing that it's difficult for them. You know, getting older, that's one thing I never understood as a younger man. I never understood what older people go through. Now I do. You know, the aches, the pains, the dozing periods between tea breaks, you know.
You sure know, do.
Those kinds of things. Yeah, and jump in if you guys have any thoughts you want
to
add.
No, I don't know. I had to get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom the other day, and I felt an ominous feeling in the pit of my stomach.
Yeah, I get it. All right, so, you know, these are some of the things that we can do to be human and not to forget our humanity. You know, again, one of the things that's happened over the last 8 or 10 years is that the political climate has made it okay to hate people because your skin's not the same color as my skin, or you're not from this country, or, you know, you're not straight, or whatever it is. It's made it okay. And so it's given people permission to draw that up. And that's not good. Not good to hate other people. You know, their lives are none of our business. So if you're looking at somebody and you don't agree with their lifestyle, it's none of your business. Move on. It's not yours to worry about. Your life is your life. You worry about you. You let them worry about them. Those people are not harming anybody any more than anyone else. I mean, if you look at the statistics, right, the violent crimes and all that, they're not centered on one group of LGBTQ people, right? It's not happening. And so we don't want to worry about them. It's like control issues, right? Some of these folks who hate, they just want to control. You know, you don't believe like I do, so I hate you. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? That's wrong. That's inappropriate. I may not agree with you, but that doesn't mean that you can't, you don't have the right to practice it. And this is what I've always said. Look, do what you want to do. Believe what you want to believe. Just do no harm and do right. You know, I don't care if you want to be a pagan, a witch, a Christian, a Hindu, a Muslim, whatever. All I ask is you do no harm. Do no harm and do right. And don't try to make other people believe the same way as you. It's not your job. I'll pause for a moment if you guys have any thoughts you want to add.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir, Doug. I love it. We all need to hear those words, especially from you now and again.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking that same thing, you know, when I talk on this radio program. I am preaching to the choir because, you know, it's all students and church members and everybody. But I'm hoping that, you know, in the archives, some people will listen and will get the point, and maybe that will lead to a change of heart or something that will uplift them and change their mind into a healthier way of thinking. In fact, that brings me to my next point. Everything that ICMH Church stands for is about empowering the human spirit and improving the human condition. That's what it's all about. The nine principles of belief are grounded. They're insightful. They're empowering. And I believe that they are the healthiest spiritual philosophy on the planet, because I'm not trying to control anybody. I mean, I wrote those things 15 years ago. I'm not trying to control anybody. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just admonishing people, look, be tolerant. Accept other people. You know, don't be mean. Don't be racist. You know, don't worry about other people's sexual orientations. Their business, not yours. You know, we are all equal. Right? One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. We're all made of the stuff of stars. Therefore, no one is worse or better than anyone else. We're people. And remember that diversity is an evolutionary constant. It's not an exception. There's diversity everywhere on this planet. It's a constant in nature. Yep. And so, even though it may not seem like it, I believe that things will get better and are getting better, even though it can be slow at times. We cannot lose hope, because if we lose hope, then all is lost. Triumphing in difficult times is also a mark of humanity. We can't and don't, we won't let things keep us down. If one of us suffers, we all suffer. Let us not suffer any longer.
Well, I just wanted to share something that Dr. Edward wrote in the chat, if I may, because it's right along what you're talking about, Doug. He said, speaking of paying it forward, about a week ago, he was at one of his favorite restaurants, and after finishing a great meal, he reached for his wallet, but the server informed him that the gentleman who had just left paid his check. And he said, wow, how cool of that. He said he didn't know who he was, but extended that simple act of kindness. He said, it gives me some hope for humanity. And I think right in line with what you're saying, now is the best time to extend that to people, remind them of their humanity.
You know,
that's a great story.
I love that story. And I love the contributions we get, and listening to you speak, Dr. Kelly, I wanted to call you that habit, but listening to you speak, you know, I can't help but think of Gene Roddenberry quotes. There's a specific Gene Roddenberry quote about appreciating diversity, but I don't know if I found the exact one, but I did find one that I do like. Until humans learn to tolerate no more than that, positively value each other for the diversity here on Earth, we don't deserve to go into outer space and encounter the infinite diversity out there, which is a good one. I tried to remind myself how often beliefs, which even can come to opinions and things like that, can be tribal too. you know, anybody that knows me for any length of time knows that I have often had friends on the other side of whatever aisle I'm on, and I like to debate. I like to have that back and forth. And there have been times where I don't get it. I don't understand why they have the positions, but I look at them and I can see good. I can see it, and I don't understand it, but I realize that, you know, we all kind of play into a tribe, but I think it's important to continually see each other's humanity and continually have that empathy for one another.
Well, Dr. Kevin has said in the chat, people hate in others what they secretly fear resides in themselves.
Yeah, true. Absolutely true.
Dr. Doug, don't you think that's true?
Yeah, of course it's true. I was looking at one of the comments from Dr. Mike. Question is, are you thinking about humanity in a particular context? It could be a philosophical question, a topic about human experience or something specific you're reflecting on. And what I'm talking about is kindness, human compassion, which has been the thrust of everything I've been talking about tonight in this program. And so I guess those are the points that I wanted. I could sit here and talk about this for an hour, but I want to encourage everyone listening to not forget your humanity. And I know you're not, but can you up it a little bit? Can you pay it forward a little bit more in some ways? And it doesn't have to be spending money either. You can help a neighbor. You can pick up trash in your neighborhood. You can do any number of things to pay it forward and, you know, help kids or whatever, help a school teacher, you know, buy some stuff, some supplies or whatnot, because that's what makes us human. And that's what makes us metaphysical humanists, if you are one. That's the work we do. We pay it forward and we help either help other people, because, you know, we all want to be part of that solution, not part of the problem. So there is no room for hatred. There is no room for intolerance. We are a light in this world, if you ask me.
That's well said. You know, Abra, you know, and we still have some time here before we get to cards, but I do want to kind of work this point in. It's something I've been thinking about this entire discussion. You know, I kind of touched earlier on how a lot of beliefs, opinions, you know, we all sort ourselves into different tribes in a way, don't we? Sometimes it's based on geographically, where are you? You know, if you're in the West, much more likely to be raised Christian, right? If you're in South Asia, could be Hindu, could be Islam, you know, East Asia, any number of, you know, Buddhism, Taoism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? A lot of these things, even coming to opinions, is a cultural thing. It's, you know, they throw this around derisively a lot, but frankly, we all do it, and that's called virtue signaling. We want other people to know where we sort ourselves based on some of the opinions we espouse and things like that, right? And that can oversimplify things. You can use labels and then we can kind of divide ourselves. And you also touched on the fact that things are better than they ever have been, which is very true. People don't have as much challenge. And not saying that people don't have challenges, but people don't have as much challenge as they used to. And I think that's also led to looking to bicker between one another and to invent chaos, because it's interesting. Chaos is often preferred over boredom. Look at reality TV. I mean, my God. But I will also say this. In times of strife, our humanity shows. The topic, oh, the humanity, comes from a man witnessing horrific pain and suffering, you know, on a larger scale. You know, how many hundreds were on that airship? I hear people, like I was listening to Conan O'Brien the other day, and he was talking about being in New York after 9/11 and how different it was. People were so concerned about one another's lives. They would share experiences. I heard people talking about in L.A., residents of L.A., some lifelong residents of L.A. talking about the fires, talking about how people come together. I can point to Florida when hurricanes hit. Aside from one verbal fight I got into in a gas line, people help each other. People are looking out for each other, and that humanity comes out when we really need it.
when neighbors are going around checking on everybody, you don't ask, who'd you vote for? You don't ask, you know, what do you think about this? No, they're just people. And you look at that humanity, and that gives you hope. So that's all I have to say about that.
Sorry.
What's that?
I said, oh, I do. I ask who did you vote for? I'm kidding. You know, it's very interesting. I've talked with, in the last couple of weeks, both on the American side and the Canadian side, very right-wing people. And I do find it interesting, a point of view. And very often, it's narrow and in the now. And I just observe it. I'm not judging it. I'm just observing because I like to have kind of a clear understanding. Because it doesn't mean I don't like these people. I do, because I don't see they're necessarily doing harm, at least intentional. So I think even what you're saying, Dr. Doug, is, you know, we can inadvertently hurt, but we don't mean to. And, you know, we can bring about some kind of chaos even though we had no intentions of doing that. Mm-hmm. So then it is also about doing the right thing.
That's why we need to be self-aware. Mm-hmm. We need to be aware of what we're doing, what we're saying, not saying unkind things, only build up and, you know, and don't try to change people. That's another huge thing. That's one of the biggest problems on this planet is people violate the law of control. You cannot control people. You cannot change people. Stop trying. Mm-hmm. And so many people want to control and change people, and you stop it. The foundational principle for all of this is do no harm, do right. And we can always use that as a test. If we're about to do something or say something, we can ask, is this going to do harm? Is this the right thing to do? And if not, then don't do it. Don't say it. You know, that's a test. So
I think that's an integral question people don't ask.
Yeah, they don't. And we should. And so I want to just remind everybody about be human, you know, be compassionate, be ethical, do the right thing, do no harm. And let's show people in the world that there are good people on this planet. You know, let's help restore faith in humanity in the little things we do every day, just being upbuilt. And don't let the news get you. Don't let the news discourage you. Things will be fine. You know, same stuff, different decade. Oh, no, it's not. We got this going on. Yeah, well, we said that 2-3 decades ago, too, and it was different then. It's the same stuff, different decade, essentially. It'll pass. Just hang in there. Don't get depressed. Don't get discouraged. Remember that life is much bigger than the current events. And nothing in the affairs of man is worth worrying about. Plato.
You know.
There's a couple of things in the chat that I think are worth mentioning. Donna wrote, from an unknown author, if you can resist treating a rich friend better than a poor friend, if you can face the world without lies and deceit, if you can say honestly that deep in your heart you have no prejudice against creed, color, religion, or politics, then, my friend, you are almost as good as your dog.
I like it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Dr. Mike has added, he finds it easier to be nice to a person rather than demeaning them. Good. He said, except someone who intentionally harms an animal.
Yeah.
Good disclaimer.
Yeah. Never physically assault anybody unless they're harming an animal. Or a person, I guess. But, you know, especially an animal.
But. No.
All right, well, thanks, everyone. That's all I've got to say for tonight. And I'll turn it over to the other two and let them pull cards for you.
Thanks. Anyway. Thanks for coming on. Doug, hopefully you do come on the first Wednesday of every month. That would be awesome.
Yeah, working on it. So thanks, everyone.
Good to have you on.
Thank you. Take care, everybody.
All right, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's just a good reminder, Michael. I think we need all is assurance. And if you remember, I had made this prediction that 2025 is going to be tough.
Thank you. Go on.
Yeah, it's a tough year. But 2026 looks brighter. And
yes,
it's a rebuilding time. And that's what I think where Dr. Douglas Kelly is saying, you know, don't lose your hope. And, you know, it'll pass. It doesn't mean we don't have to work for it.
Sure.
Because we do. We have to work for it.
Right.
It's sometimes you have to face the bully and say no. You know.
Right.
And, you know, those challenging times, those challenging moments where who are we in the face of adversity?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are we?
Yep.
Do we roll over, lay down, run away? You know? And I think there's that fight, flight, and freeze. Well, once you kind of get over that for a minute, it's then what's your choice?
Right.
What are you going to do? So do you participate, you know, to help improve things, even if it's a small thing like giving forward,
mm-hmm.
you know, give of yourself, support others, and remind us and each other of humanity, because that's what we are.
Absolutely. Very well said.
My little speech. You know, we're going to pull some cards here, folks.
Yet first, because this already, there was something I was going to say, and I'm glad you touched on Donna and Dr. Mike's comments. First off, because I wanted to mention Dr. Mike's too. I actually missed Donna's, and thank you for bringing that to my attention. But the last thing I wanted to say, and it after I forgot it, and it was on the tip of my mind's tongue, if you will. It was right on the periphery. It was driving me crazy until you said that about this year and the next year changes. And I'm like, oh my God, I can remember it now. It felt so relieving. There is a phrase from a TV show, and I don't think it's their original creation, but it stuck with me for a long time. I'm really nerding now, but it's the remake of Battlestar Galactica in the 2000s. There is a phrase that the Cylons, which are these AI that are super advanced, they have this thing they say. They say, all of this has happened before, and all of this will happen again. And that is the last thing that I want to leave this topic on, is that, yes, times are tough in their ways. We also have to appreciate how good things are. But just like my father said, Dr. Kelly said, Plato said, nothing in the affairs of humans, I'm paraphrasing, is worth worrying about. I say to that also, all of this has happened before, all of this will happen again, but we can still make a positive difference in our bubbles. I needed to get it out. It's like an itch you just got to scratch. That's it.
So. Okay, we heard you. That's true. It is true, though, Mike. Historically, it's happened before. And
I mean, they all have their different flavors. And that also gave me time to scroll through the very lengthy chat and find out who our first card was.
I got Jerry as our first card. So we're going to, for those who don't know or new to the program or in the archives, Michael selects an Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a supporting tarot card and see if there's a story.
Absolutely. So, Jerry, so happy to have you with us. And tonight you get number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself and then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances, and make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good one.
Well, I got the King of Diamonds here for you, Jerry. Are you talking to somebody in business about your writing, what you've learned, your background? Because it seems to me there's a dialogue with, and I go more towards the male, but that could be female with a lot of male energy as well. And a dialogue about, it's not just about you being educated, it's more about how you educate others or what you're bringing to the table. So I think you got some interesting irons in the fire. So I want to say that's an affirmation. Keep going.
All right.
So we have Jackie.
I do as well. Jackie, tonight you get a wild card. Wild card number 6, entropy. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which is low entropy. They can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to, once again, take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that person lowers their personal entropy and the world is a better place.
Eight of diamonds, so the eight of pentacles. That's all about education, creativity, apprenticeship, learning on the job, or learning as you go, applying what you learn as you're working or living life in a way, Jackie. What this tells me, and it's an affirmation to you as well, that what you have gained has helped to lower your entropy. In other words, finding a calm inside yourself, making peace with things, and it could be too. In my like pictures in my head kind of say things that you might have been struggling with in the past, you can now put to rest because it doesn't need to make sense to you. You only need to make sense to you, if that makes sense. I know that's kind of convoluted in a short amount of time. But that's a really powerful kind of combination of how your energy is shifting in a really positive way. So I think it's great. Few energy shifts here. So let's see what we got for Kevin, Michael.
All right, Kevin, I have for you number 34, take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership of other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest. It's a good one.
I got the High Priestess, which is everything to do with your own intuition and your own sense of things, Kevin. You know, take and release ownership with the High Priestess. I think it's an interesting bridge to cross in yourself of saying, I used to think that was my business, but now I know it's no longer my business. And intuitively having a better sense of when your opinion might matter or when your words might have relevance or might have an impact. So it's like being conscious now of selecting how you're communicating and what you're communicating. And I mean, it's kind of like you're elevating yourself because you've connected something in your mind. It's a great bridge to cross in ourselves to become more conscious and self-awake and connecting with others. So I think I'm going to say an inner spiritual intellectual breakthrough. That's cool. That's awesome. And thanks for the feedback, Jerry. She just pitched a writing workshop at a local library. And so it's going to be writing your stories. Good for you. Ooh, see, I felt pretty good about that, Jerry. Sounds good.
I love it.
Okay, we have...
I have Dr. Jeff. Sound right?
I do too.
Perfect.
Yes.
All right, Dr. Jeff, I have for you number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Oh, I'm excited about this for you, Jeff. Eight of hearts, the eight of cups. You know, that has everything to do with, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm just following radar. And so you have an awareness, but not really. Like you're aware, but you don't really know what you're doing. So this is a perfect time for me to inform everybody, because this is right in line with what you're doing, Jeff. If you look up on Instagram or on Facebook, Blind Outdoorsman, you will find Dr. Jeff. And he's just recently started doing his own page, his own promoting, his own posts, I guess, social media, for his adventures and how he navigates being blind. And I follow him. I know he doesn't have much up yet, but he's getting there. And it's a fun thing. I think you're on a roll. I think you're going to do great things with this, Jeff. So, you know, you might be new to it, but these two cards, Awareness and Eight of Hearts, man, that just fits right in line with that. So Blind Outdoorsman, everybody. So, and Jeff is a big outdoors guy. Likes to go fishing, traveling, and he's got the greatest dog and an awesome wife, I tell you. So they do lots of things together. So I'm plugging in Jeff, Michael. I can't help myself.
It's a good plug.
We're like a good family here. We are.
All right,
we have Edward next.
All right, Dr. Edward, for you, I have number 5, Law of Control. Law of Control. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave. That's a good card, and it's always striking how relevant to the evening's conversation these cards end up being.
Well, I got the 3 of clubs, 3 of wands in support of that for you, Edward. You know, and quite simply, the 3 of clubs, it likes to sit for a moment and look into the future, and it can see things into the future because it's contemplative. And in this case, when I put those combinations together, it's like you can see maybe where people are going, but there's nothing you can do about it. You can see where somebody's decision has taken a direction, but there's nothing you can do about it. You can only navigate your own way. And nothing could be more appropriate for everybody to hear right about now. But that law of control. So whether this is a family member, perhaps, or someone, you know, even in your sphere of influence, not just politically, know when to step forward and know when it's like, can I offer a suggestion, or, you know, handling it very delicately. Because it's not just about where you're going, it's about where you see somebody else going. Cool. We have our card keeper, Wendy.
All right, Wendy. A lot of new cards tonight, so let's see what you get. Wendy, you get number 35, One Planet, One Race, One Ancestry, One Destiny. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, spiritual enlightenment. It's critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
I got the 5 of clubs, 5 of wands in support of that, Wendy. I think you've overcome a hurdle of some kind, something you needed to figure out, something you needed to better articulate, maybe organize, but it's a clarity has happened. So this is kind of like having a little celebration with yourself, saying, oh, I get it, now I know, you know. And so I think that's an affirmation to you. And how you fit into what you want to do into the scheme of things. So you're on it. Just every little step is a celebration, right? So you're on to things. Another step is accomplished. Cool. Donna is next.
All right, Donna, for you, I have number 4, Past, Present, Future. I feel like I pulled this one for somebody last week, but I could be wrong.
The three universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. I feel like I was going to go to 4, but nope. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Oh, this is great. It's strength, Donna. Strength is that will of spirit, empowerment, that force to be reckoned with. I want to say to you, you've overcome something also in understanding where you are in the world and what you want to do, where you want to go. How you get there, you know, of course, is always the steps that we figure out, but you have the strength now to do that. You have, and I want to say the self-certainty. I'm kind of not keen often on the word confidence because that's external. Self-certainty is inside, and we just know who we are, or we know better who we are. So I think you're moving forward like exponentially, Donna, and keep going because you just don't know who you're going to be on the other side of all this. This is awesome. I don't know who I'm going to be tomorrow, Michael.
No, I know. You're all over the place.
I know. No, we are. You know, I want to thank everybody for the feedback and, you know, the little things coming back. And that's encouraging for me, by the way, because I never know what I'm talking about, as I often say. So thanks for that. But we do have Audra.
Only if you wanted to skip Damien. I mean, I don't know what he did to you, but...
We
do have Damien.
I'm sorry. I didn't see Damien. I apologize.
Well, Damien,
I was bound to miss something. You know?
Oh, well, we have to keep each other honest. Lord knows I don't catch them all. But Damien, for you, I have number 43, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it.
Well, you know, a page card is a communicator, right? And when you have wands or clubs, they're a communicator of changes, of change. So that expediency, communication, knowing when to speak, knowing when not to speak, knowing when to act. It's like waking up in the morning saying, okay, today I'm doing my taxes. Or it's just like knowing. It's you know when you need to do it. But I think more in line with communicating, I feel like you're onto wanting to share something of yourself, Damien, or share with others. And you'll know the timing of that, because timing is crucial, right? It's you'll know when to wiggle yourself in there and when your voice will be heard. And until then, you just kind of have to wait. And then it'll be that moment of, oh, now's the time. And you got to go with it. As soon as you feel it, you got to go with it. It's not anxious. It's not angry. It's not any of those things. It's that feeling that you get. So it's. I think that's really cool. You're making a little shift for yourself. You know, Michael, of all the cards tonight, I feel that no matter what's going on in the world right now, everybody here, or everyone so far here, is doing their part, you know, like they're rising to the challenge. It can feel oppressive out there. It can feel confusing. But everyone is kind of firing up. I like that.
Yeah.
The energy is rising.
It is. Yeah. You know, it is. I can be a little chaotic at first, too, but, you know.
Now do we get Audra?
Usually every week I like to do some kind of joke about, oh, we don't have time for Audra, or like, oh, I'm sorry, we can't sneak one in for Audra. But this week it's not a joke. We actually don't have time for Audra. But anyway, so thank you, everybody, for joining. I'm kidding, of course. But no, Audra, you know, I have a card for you. And it's been kind of odd. I pulled five, and then I pulled another card, and then I pulled four, and then I pulled another card, and now I pulled three. So every other card is kind of going in backwards. So, Audra, tonight you get number three, be who you are, walk your own path. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself to others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to make, the direction that you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
Well, you might have to do something that you're not keen on doing or you're not comfortable with doing. You know, like firing somebody is not comfortable, or, you know, taking somebody or something to task. Because in this case here, I pulled two cards, Audra. So when you have, you know, be yourself, walk your own path, it's being true to who you are and certainly doing it your way. But in walking your own path and stepping up as a manager, supervisor, overseer, there's often opportunities that are not comfortable. And so I got the death card, which is openings, new beginnings, so don't freak out about that. And then this four of hearts, so that four of cups. And so it's just saying a bit of discomfort, but brings greater opportunity. It brings for more comfort in an environment even. So sometimes we have to do uncomfortable things. So I sure hope that one makes sense, Michael. But it's a really powerful message of, you know, stand tall, be you. So got to do what you got to do, you know.
Well, I was on mute.
Yeah.
I said, oh, well said. Well said. You know, again, I've said it so many times before, so our regulars are going to have heard this before, but I get the easy part. I get to look this little guidebook, and I just try to sound fancy as I read from the guidebook. I think it's well written. I think sometimes they hit. I love how these cards so often, you know, impact what we're talking about, because it's really a lot of the core principles of being a metaphysical humanist, a metaphysician. Yeah. So I do enjoy going through them, but you have the tough one. You have to intuit. You have that intuition that you vibe into, and it's a little uncanny. I mean, I can see why in a past life you were burned as a witch. You know, I get it. But,
you know, I'd like to address something that Dr. Mike wrote in the chat, and he said sometimes human beings don't unfortunately learn their lessons, and I think that's true historically. Just as a thought, I had come across a theory of there's different levels of souls, and some souls are earthbound, meaning their designate is earth, and they keep evolving in and around that earth sphere. Then there's another layer of souls who kind of go between the worlds. And then, of course, there's, you know, intergalactic souls that kind of come on a mission. And I kind of like this theory. I'm not saying I believe it entirely, everybody. I'm just saying I kind of like that theory. But it would make sense then if there are earthbound souls that only know that animalistic side, or that greedy side, or that other side of being earthbound, because as Dr. Kelly very often says, we're on a planet where everything eats everything, and that's the nature of the cycle of this planet. That's the beauty of this cycle and of where we live. But of course it has a dark side. So it very well could be that, you know, that we're visited to bring enlightenment for an evolution to this planet. Certainly we've done that with technology, and I think technology existed long ago too, but with the elevation of consciousness. And I like to think that. And now my disclaimer is I'm going home to the home planet when I'm done here, because I'm kind of thinking I'm done with Earth. Just kidding. But, yeah, my report is getting really big. So good thing it can go on a little flash drive now. I think that there are people that don't learn lessons for a lot of reasons, or how we have to, at least I have to take it to other levels of thinking. Cruelty knows no bounds. You know, I'm not going to say the word evil, but I can say cruel, which kind of borders in any other descriptive you want to give it. And it's that no regard, that no humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And we do like to believe everybody is essentially good, and that's not true, I'm afraid. I think that there are those who are damaged, and damaged beyond repair.
Yeah.
And I remember a good friend of mine many years ago used to work in a youth detention center, and he'd seen so many damaged kids. And he said, you know, one day he came over for coffee, he was debriefing, and he had met an 8-year-old who had to go to jail, believe it or not. And he said he's so damaged, the most he can ever hope for is digging ditches.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only capacity he'll ever have.
Yeah.
And I guess we have to consider that while we like to believe everything is limitless, there are limitations, and everyone has a place on this planet. Everyone has it can fit somewhere, but some mentalities are damaged, and it's how much room we give to that damage. That's the question. Where are we going to draw the parameters? How much room or space are we going to give them to contaminate others? Because they do have a place, but give them that place and say, there's your boundary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can play in that sandbox. That's it. You know? And so I do agree, Dr. Mike, but I also think that, I have to believe there's hope, man. I have to.
Yeah. I mean,
not giving up on that.
There's always hope. I mean, whether it's going to be seen in our lifetimes is another thing, but there's always hope. I'm kidding, of course. But, you know, I think a lot of it's expectations, too, right? You know, you expect something and it doesn't happen. You get disappointed. What are the tenets of Buddhism that desire is the root of all suffering, and in their mistranslation, suffering just means discomfort, annoyance, anything and everything in between that and pain, but desire of control too. But I agree with you, you know, there is absolutely cause for hope, because look at, we have each other, you know, we have
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we have a good community and we're making a positive difference in our own little spheres, but go ahead.
Well, I'll have you know, I spent 100 years as a Buddhist monk.
Yay.
And I died in 1050
AD. Right. I haven't heard about
this
one.
The thing that I learned as a woman this time, and reflecting, because I had a real big affinity for Buddhism, they were all men. Now go figure.
The Buddhists?
And it hasn't been until the last 50 years that they've allowed women to be monks.
Is that?
Or, you know, I mean, it was still male-dominated.
Well, male-dominated, you know, and listen, I'm going up against a past life of being a monk and all that, but I kind of got interested in Buddhism because of a PBS documentary narrative about Richard Gere, but in it they talked about this journal of a woman who went to a monastery and was able to leave an abusive husband, and she became a monk, and she meditated, and she found peace and wrote about it. Mm-hmm. So I thought that it was a bit more equal opportunity, but... And, yeah. As with everything, when you go back 2,500 years, there's going to be a diversity in people who approach it, right? But
so I'm going to digress, mm-hmm. Dr. Mike. I'm going to shift over to Dr. Mike. He said he really dislikes daylight savings.
Yeah.
And he said that's a good topic for next week. How are you affected by daylight saving time? And, you know, circadian rhythms. Let's talk about that and how they affect the body.
That works for me. Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it. I mean, it's going to be basically me coming on and saying, daylight savings is awful. We need to abolish it. And while Wendy is trying to put a good face on it, by the way, thank you for the reminder to that we're going to lose an hour of our lives, Wendy. She did point out that in the spring you have pretty flowers. Well, you know what? I live in Florida. Winter is the best time of year. We already have flowers, and I'm losing an hour of my life. But
you're funny. I've enjoyed this hour, and I'm so appreciative that Dr. Mm-hmm. Doug Kelly came on, and we'll see him again in a few weeks. And
yeah, it's been a good one. You know, it's been a great discussion. It is that time to wrap up, though, and you know, I have enjoyed our discussion with everybody in chat. I've enjoyed our back and forth. I love the banter. I love to fool around, and sometimes what I love to do most when looking at some of the craziness of life is just kind of laugh at it. So, that'll be my last words. And Dr. Vicky, what are you feeling?
Oh, don't let them push you around out there, people.
Yeah, there it is. Well, guys, looking forward to that discussion. Great suggestion, Dr. Mike. We're going to talk about how daylight saving time is. And by the way, it is saving time, not plural. And we're going to talk about how it's evil, how it destroys society. And then we're also going to get into circadian rhythms. So we're looking forward to having you.
But, you know, we can talk about how vitamin D shortage in the winter and stuff. And I can talk about people who are born, you know, in the winter versus summer and how this affects them different, because planets have everything to do with it.
Oh, yeah, there we go. So it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good discussion.
But we'll do it.
Looking forward to having everybody join us next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.